This is a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. Go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
It's 5 o'clock on Friday afternoon. My name's Jacob.
Well, I must be Mercedes then. And we're on Community Radio 3CR with Friday Rave.
Yeah, that's right. You are tuned to Community Radio 3CR and it's Friday afternoon. And it's a little bit earlier in the afternoon. We had to do a bit of a pre-record today, but you're tuned to a Friday Rave. I'm Mercedes, here with Jake.
I'm Jake. It's actually, yeah, it is the afternoon. I was going to correct you and say it's the morning, but it's not. We've been mucking around for so long. Yeah.
And you might be tuned to 855 on your AM dial, through all the W's at 3cr.org.au or via 3CR Digital.
3CR Digital, or, of course, through your state-of-the-art surveillance helicopter in the sky, what we've started calling up here in our virtual studio, the Preston Ceiling Fan. They come over that often.
Yeah, they absolutely do. And we have slowly started to get the podcast up. So if you do want to listen back, I think we're about up to the end of April. So we'll slowly get those added.
We'll get there. We'll get there.
But what a week it's been. We've got a few things to cover in the show today. Last week we said that we would do a little bit more of a closer look at the Albanese that we need and the Albanese that we love, Francesca Albanese's report.
Yeah, geez, it's how different could two people with the same surname be?
Yeah, exactly. And so we are going to do that today, but it's been as everything moves so quickly at the moment. There are a couple of other things that we're going to include, including the recent report, which has been described as Trumpian.
Jill Siegel.
Yep. And also the Centre for Public Integrity has put out a report for transparency in federal lobbying. So if we get time, we'll have a little bit of a rave about that as well.
And the other thing I think we need to do, and don't want to surprise you with this, Mercedes, but not this weekend, but the following weekend is the convergence on Canberra. So we said through the show, give you enough keep kicking the ass to get online and book your seat and be there in Canberra.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, tonight there is a fundraiser at Schoolhouse Studios starting this evening. It's being put on by the legends at Anak Bangsa, who are raising funds to cover travel for First Nations people to the convergence and also some of the logistical costs, including food and things on the ground. So big ups to Anak Bangsa. That's going to be at Schoolhouse Studios this evening from about 6. There's going to be food and live music, so get on down.
Yep, absolutely. And I'm not going to be there. And Mercedes keeps looking surprised at me because we haven't discussed what we're going to say too much. But because I am going to be somewhere else.
And where is that?
Well, regular listeners would know that from time to time I appear on Asia Pacific Currents on a Saturday morning, which is the soul of Australia, Asia Workers Links. Now, the host of that show, one Giselle Hanna, from Australia Asia Worker Links, has recently been elected Secretary of the CPSU, Community Public Sector Union, State Public Service Federation.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's open yet. I don't know if it's official yet. Sorry, Giselle, but it's been in the Herald Sun. So, yeah, I don't care whether you want me to mention it or not. Madam Secretary.
Big up, Giselle.
So big party in Richmond tonight for the rank and file group Voice for Workers within the CPSU SPSF that hasn't had a leadership challenge in more than 30 years. It's been held by someone who's probably closer to the government than they are to the workers, no probably about it. And the last time it was actually in the hands of the workers, regular 3CR listeners may remember Bill Deller. Well, Bill Deller was the secretary for a while of the CPSU SPSF, and then it went to the incumbent that held it for the ensuing 30-something years. I can't even remember her name anymore. Doesn't matter, she's a nothing burger anyway. And now it's in the Voice for Workers. So congratulations to not just to Giselle, but to all the CPSU rank and file delegates that pulled together and won the election in a historic landslide victory.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, it is also coming to the end of NAIDOC week. This week, so a massive week, and sending best wishes to NAIDOC to all First Nations listeners. And NAIDOC week, of course, at 3CR is Beyond the Bars. So throughout this week, Beyond the Bars, the Beyond the Bars program that's in its 24th year, that goes into five prisons across Victoria, mm-hmm. and broadcasts live from those prisons, and hear from the First Nations Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander inmates. Who are incarcerated. So it's their voice out to you. So get back. You can jump on the website and type in Beyond the Bars in the search bar and definitely implore you to have a listen back, because hearing straight from the incarcerated folks themselves about the issues that they're facing, what's going on, it's an opportunity for them to communicate with family and friends on the outside, and really important that we're across all of those issues.
Absolutely. And a big ups to 3CR and to all the 3CR staff and volunteers, including one of the volunteers, our own Mercedes Zagger, who went down to the prisons and is going down to the prisons and helping coordinate and get those broadcasts to air. And it's an important thing I mention that, not just to give you big ups, mate, but to say, not just a Friday Rave, shows like a Friday Rave, you and I are both involved in other things in the movement. As people are aware of some of it, but a lot of the 3CR presenters are involved in so much, and it's just another important reason to support your community radio station 3CR, because it's not just about, you know, the emphasis is on community more than it is radio, if anything, and so we need to, you know, for those who haven't fulfilled your pledges yet from last month's Radiothon, do it.
Yeah. Exactly. So, yeah, big ups to everybody that's been involved in the Beyond the Bars project and 3CR as a whole, because it is we're the only place that you will hear directly from community. It's radio for community, by community.
Yeah, and it might not be around... Oh, no, we're going to go to Francesca Albanese to start with.
So, of course, this was... it was released last week, and we did mention it on the show last week, but the... Human Rights Council and Francesca Albanese presented the report From Economy of Occupation to Economy of Genocide, the report of the Special Rapporteur on the Situation of Human Rights in the Palestinian Territories Occupied since 1967. And so this report goes through the legal context, and also it's a really big insight into a lot of the companies and the corporations that are involved in the continuation of the genocide and the continuation of occupation of Palestinian land by the Zionist Israeli entity.
Yes.
And it goes through looking and naming, I think there's about 35 corporations and companies that are named in the report directly, and that speaks to their direct links to upholding the genocidal regime and the occupation of Palestinian land. Now, we mentioned in the show last week that Palantir was one of the companies involved, but I guess for this show, the military sector plays one of the... And this is a quote from the report: "The militarized violence created by the State of Israel and remains the engine of its settler colonial project." And so it goes into talking about the prologue to occupation and the military campaigns that are committed, and genocide that is committed against Palestinians, and the tools that power those and the companies involved. So, of course, there's the F-35 program that's led by Lockheed Martin in the US, and then also companies like Elbit Systems, Israel Aerospace Industries, and Rafael Systems, that then export the weapons and the tools of genocide that they actually market as battle tested and proven. And so this is something that a lot of listeners will be aware of. But when we think about something like the F-35 program, which we've talked a lot about on a Friday Rave and elsewhere, and
sick of talking about it, to be honest.
And the amount of companies that are involved in the supply chains. And so there's, you know, probably a couple of thousand companies at least, big companies, that are involved
In the supply chain, just for the F-35 we're talking here.
Just for the F-35.
There are 70 in Australia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
75, I think.
75, sorry.
75, I think. Yeah. And so in the annex of this report, it talks about I'm just going to flip to my little page here. In the annex of this report, and it sets out the legal context of this. And so what is the corporate responsibility under international law for companies that are, doesn't use these terms, but I'll use them, aiding and abetting a genocide, because then how they are contributing to it. And it references the UN guiding principles on business and human rights as the framework at an international level that oversees corporate entities and corporate conduct in respect to human rights.
Now, this is an important point here. We often talk about what the government's doing, what the Israeli government's doing, all the rest of it. And we talk about the companies. But often when we're talking about the companies, we're talking about the companies profiting from the genocide and profiting from war, right? We don't actually all that often, because it's too big, talk about the role the companies have in actually causing and perpetuating the wars. These wars are done for profit, okay? And these people, because they're profiting from war, they're actually, through a whole host of mechanisms, advancing the issues of the war. So the United Nations, we think of the United Nations as holding countries to account, but as Albanese points out in her report, there are actually laws and there are actually mechanisms to hold the corporations who are profiting from, and I can't remember the words he uses.
Contributing to
the war, and contributing to and creating human rights violations, war crimes, genocide, there are mechanisms for holding them to account as well. And I think what we're seeing here is, in recent years, I think since, at least since October the 23rd, when people started talking about the companies involved in the genocide on Gaza, is a realisation that it's not just the countries, it's the companies.
And what in the report, it speaks to the responsibilities of corporate entities, and that these UN guiding principles, and this is a quote, apply to all corporate enterprises, quote, regardless of their size, sector, operational context, ownership, and structure. Mm-hmm. And so that speaks to in the breadth of the report that goes through super funds, it goes through capital investment firms, it goes through tech companies, it goes through startups, it goes through a whole and military and weapons companies, it goes
through lobbyists
and their lobbyists. And so this, and what it says, it's the corporate entity's responsibility depends primarily on whether its activities or relationships throughout its supply and value chain risk are causing human rights violations due to its own activities being essential to the human rights abuse being able to occur, or contributing to violations through its own activity, either directly or through some outside entity, a government, business or other. This includes any activity or relationship where a causal link can be established between the corporate entity's actions and the resulting human rights violation.
Right.
And so I guess what this means is that any company, and I think this is what's, it seems big, but this report is so important. It's like any company that profits from the manufacture of weapons, which we know that there are so many in Australia that are manufacturing weapons that we know, or components that we know as part of the supply chain, that have a causal link to the development of arms and weapons that are being used against Palestinians by Israel, that they are being held, there is a corporate responsibility and accountability through international law that they must adhere to and that there are ramifications for if they don't.
Yeah. And it's a bit, look, I'll be honest, it's all a bit pie in the sky, because when you look at the conclusions Albanese draws, and while I agree with them 100%, it's like any company involved in military production is, you know, in violation of the law.
Mm-hmm.
It talks about what is the imperative in the occupied Palestinian territory. Corporate entities should ask themselves three questions. Is there an actual or potential adverse impact on human rights, or is the conflict connected either to the corporate entity's activities, products or services? Two, if so, do the corporate entity's activities increase the risk of that impact? And C, if so, would the corporate entity's activities in and of themselves be sufficient to result in that impact? Now, when you look at a company, for example, like, I don't know, let's say ASDEM, which includes Rose Bank and Morand and a few others, is there an actual potential adverse impact on human rights? Well, obviously.
Yes.
Does the corporate entity's activities increase the risk of that impact? Well, obviously.
Absolutely.
And would the corporate entity's activities in and of themselves be sufficient to result in that impact? Possibly not.
But so, also possibly when you think about something like Morand or Rose Bank, which are considered some of the few and sole suppliers of components for the F-35.
I agree, but I'm erring on the side of caution here, which our regular listeners would know is not something I'm all that comfortable with. But and her, the answers to is where it contributes to human rights violations, answers to questions 1 and 2 and no to 3, it is a responsibility to take the necessary steps to cease or prevent its own contribution to the human rights violations, including terminating relationships, to mitigate any remaining impact through its leverage, and to cooperate in the remediation of the harm. Not just stopping, but remediate the harm. Now, how do you remediate 50,000, 60,000, 70,000, Christ knows how many dead people? I don't know how you remediate that.
And the absolute just destruction of an entire...
So a company like ASDEB, according to this report, has a responsibility to take steps to cease or prevent its own contribution and to cooperate in the remediation of the harm. And that's, and look, I'm sorry to our the people at ASDEB. I'm just picking on you, but it could be anyone. It could be Lovett. It could be the SEC plating in Belmore where they assaulted people a couple of weeks ago. It could be any of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's absolutely right. And I think that the timing of this report, coming out last week, and we did mention that the report has just been released by the Special Envoy on Anti-Semitism, Gillian Siegel. And a part of that is, everyone would have seen in the media, the conflation of three events that have happened in Melbourne on Friday night.
Last week, yeah.
Just last week. And included in that was an action against Lovett Technologies in Greensboro, which is a part of a big part of the supply chain of the F-35 program and other weapons and other weapon supply chains, and the conflation of that with anti-Semitism, and the in conflation of the other action at the restaurant with anti-Semitism.
Yeah,
it's, and so when you're conflating attacks against weapons Australian companies, which are operating here with Australian ACNs and Australian ABNs.
Under Australian law.
Under Australian law, that are involved in the manufacture of weapons that are being used in a genocide. And the conflation of that with anti-Semitism means that in this report that Gillian Siegel has just released, which is Trumpian and ridiculous in some of those reports, we have to think about whether it is possible that this conflation is an attempt to try and undermine legitimate action against companies who are profiting from death.
Yes, absolutely. And we'll go into her report too. What's the time check, Mercedes? You got to.
Oh, we've got 10 minutes left.
Oh, we should move on.
Yeah, so, but I also just want to, I think in that part, I've got to get that report. I mean, and there's so much in that report. But in Gillian Siegel's report, one of the things that's mentioned is security upgrades at high-risk sites, training for threat recognition and improved data collection. And so when you think about what we've spoken about, the Office of Defence Industry Support last year putting out a protest warning to small to medium enterprises and companies involved in and military supply chains and providing federal government support for security in the form of XP 188 forms and then a whole raft of measures that are suggested and training for upgrading security there. And then now we see the conflation of actions like this with anti-Semitism in the media. And so what if the government goes ahead and puts the recommendations of this report through, what does that mean for anti-militarist action for people, anti-genocide campaigners and people who don't want to see Palestinians, people anywhere in the world being murdered by weapons that are being developed by Australian companies or any company for that matter?
Will that be anti-Semitic?
And will this report bring in those frameworks which more heavily criminalise and under new laws that we don't see yet, will that be considered hate crimes?
I'd suggest they will.
And we hope not. In Palestine Action in the UK has been designated a terrorist organisation. And so is this kind of laying the groundwork for what that might look like?
So maybe next time we're at Lovett Technologies or any of these other firms that provide parts of the F-35 global program, maybe we should just leave Israel alone and not support the Palestinians and talk about the way they're being used to kill people in the border conflicts between India and Pakistan, the way they're being used against the Houthis in Yemen, the way they're being used in Sudan, the way they're being used
in West Papua.
In West Papua. It'll be okay to condemn companies for killing people who aren't Jewish, basically. And it's an awful, awful, shameful piece of work. It's crazy.
And the improved data collection that's mentioned there as well, I think, is something that we need to talk about. Is a big part of this report is collecting data, and so data collection is one step of it. But of course, when you increase data collection, that data needs to be analysed.
Yes.
And so the data analysis tools, and this is what we spoke about, again, mentioned in Francesca Albanese's report last week, and we've spoken about companies like Palantir that are AI data analysis tools, that these are the companies that the Australian Signals Directorate has contracts for Palantir, the Australian Criminal... Oh, what's it called? The Australian Criminal Intelligence Commission uses...
And Coles.
And Rio Tinto, the Department of Defence use Palantir's technologies, and the also last week, what happened was Victoria Police has just renewed another contract for data analysis with two companies, one called Kinetic IT, and another company called DXC Technologies.
Right, now DXC is connected to
Palantir.
Ah, oh, surprise, surprise.
Yeah, so on Palantir's website. You go to the about the partnership of Palantir and DXC is the strategic global alliance between DXC and Palantir. Palantir leverages DXC's extensive expertise in data, AI and digital transformation and Palantir's cutting-edge AI platforms. Together, DXC and Palantir redefine the boundaries of data analytics and AI-driven insights, delivering transformative use cases with unparalleled precision and agility. Empowering F2000 enterprises into a future defined by intelligent decision-making and operational excellence. And so I think it's really important to know that Palantir's technology has been developed not just for data analysis, but also for predictive analysis.
Predictive, and that is the big thing about them. It's the AI predictive analysis, because there's no way that human beings, you know, so much data, it's meaningless unless it can be analysed. And analysing, the whole point of analysing data is to predict what's going to happen next. I mean, you know, I was talking to a young bloke the other day who knew all the AFL scores going back 10 years off the top of his head, but there's no use in knowing that shit unless he's actually going to use it to predict what's going to happen
at next week's game.
At a game next week, you know. It's collecting data is all about predictive analysis, and there is so much of it now that it can only be done artificially because, you know, it's almost like having a map on a one-to-one scale. What's the point of the map?
Mm.
To have human beings analysing all the data, you'd have to be analysing. There's only enough time in our day to analyse my own data.
Yeah, and I mean, this is what this technology, the data analysis technology and programs like this were invented by ARPA and DARPA for this very specific reason, to analyze and predict where potential insurgencies were going to emerge. And that was back in the 60s.
And just in a couple of minutes that we've got left, we're not going to be able to go to the third item or the fourth item that we were going to talk about. But the news came up this morning that there's actually plans that from the 27th of December this year, you and I are going to have to prove how old we are, and that means prove who we are, before we can log on to a search engine so that children can't have, have access. They keep saying violent and pornographic images, but it's also going to do things like stop them in getting material about eating disorders. And things like that, you know, and you know, under 18, so people won't be able to get 17-year-olds, 16-year-olds won't be able to get legitimate advice on a whole range
of things that teenagers need that
I wish I had when I was 16.
Yeah,
for Christ's sake, you know, and this is more, and you put this together with the anti-Semitism task force, all right. And it's like, it's not just about anti-Semitism, and it's not about anti-Semitism. Nobody gives a shit. The corporations don't really give a shit, all right, about anti-Semitism, any more than they give a shit about Islamophobia or anti-black racism. This is about...
An anti-Palestinian racism.
This is about control. This is about surveillance, all right? So you're going to have... You know, I might be logged onto a website and want to look at something to do with Palestine. I might be investigating some of the Nazi groups in Australia, for argument's sake. I go to their sites. Am I going to have logged in this task force that I've been visiting anti-Semitic sites, which I might do in the course of my research? Just because I spend hours on Lockheed Martin's websites doesn't mean that I support Lockheed Martin.
And also, that's how we keep track of the movements of actual anti-Semitic and neo-Nazi groups.
Actual Nazis.
Yeah. And so I guess what this, you know, coupled together, if this is where we're headed towards, it is probably timely in the couple of minutes that we have left, if this is coming in December. If you don't have a VPN, get one. You can. There's a plenty of free ones that are available. There are also alternative search engines like DuckDuckGo or Brave. That you can look into. Getting familiar with that sort of thing now. They're certainly not perfect. Become familiar with how we can ensure that, just make their job a bit harder.
And we are, I do need to say, we are not encouraging anybody to break the law.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. But it's going to, you are going to notice in the coming period, more and more times, people like us and other people on 3CR and other radio stations having to give all these disclaimers of, we're not saying this, we're not saying that, we're not saying the other, but because it is going to be so easy to attack programs like this, radio stations like this, activists who are against arms companies, who are for freedom of speech, or a whole, you know, to get them off the air and shut us down.
Well, it's been a drab Friday rave for this week, but make sure to get down to the rally this coming Sunday, 12 o'clock at State Library, and of course, jump on to sanctionisraelnow.com to get all of the information of how to get to Canberra next week.
Book your ticket now.